Meditation at Lagunitas by Robert Haas. All the new thinking is about loss. In this, it resembles all the old thinking. The idea, for example, that each particular erases the luminous clarity of a general idea, that the clown-faced woodpecker probing the dead sculpted trunk of that black birch is, by his presence, some tragic falling off from a first world of undivided light. Or the notion that, because there is in this world no one thing to which the bramble of blackberry corresponds, a word is elegy to what it signifies. We talked about it late last night, and in the voice of my friend there was a thin wire of grief, a tone almost querulous. After a while, I understood that, talking in this way, everything dissolves. Justice, pine, hair, woman, you and I. There was a woman I made love to, and I remembered how, holding her small shoulders in my hands sometimes, I felt a violent wonder at her presence, like a thirst for salt, for my childhood river with its island willows, silly music from the pleasure boat, muddy places where we caught the little orange silver fish called pumpkin seed. It hardly had to do with her. Longing, we say, because desire is full of endless distances. I must have been the same to her. But I remember so much, the way her hands dismantled bread, the thing her father said that hurt her, what she dreamed. There are moments when the body is as numinous as words, days that are the good flesh continuing. Such tenderness those afternoons and evenings, saying blackberry, blackberry, blackberry.
From the studios of KPFK Los Angeles Pacifica Radio, welcome to Poets Cafe. I'm host Lois B. Jones, and our guest is Michelle Chirypka. Michelle graduated from Columbia University and has since been working in film and media production. She's the managing director of the Visible Poetry Project, which was founded in 2017 with the goal of bringing together a collective of filmmakers to create a series of videos that present poems as short films, designed with the idea of helping poets and filmmakers explore interdisciplinary approaches to visual self-expression. It draws from works created by renowned poets, including Neil Gaiman, Tato LaViera, Ocean Vuong, as well as emerging poets. The Visible Poetry Project strives to make poetry accessible, exploring how we can recreate and experience poems through the medium of film. Welcome, Michelle.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Wow, it's great to have you. And what a poem to open with. That's a beautiful Robert Haas poem. It's been a long time since I think I've read it. But then when you get to that ending, you remember it.
Yeah.
Because it's unforgettable.
Yeah, it definitely hits you in the gut a little bit.
That particular poem has a connection for you with the origination of the Visible Poetry Project?
This poem in particular was one that I first read in 2016. There was something about it that I kept coming back to, and there was this along with a couple of other different poems. Like I said, it kind of hit me in the gut. And as I was making my own films, I was thinking a lot about what kind of films I want to be making, and I had the feeling that I want to make films that make you feel the way that you do when you read a poem like Meditation at Lagunitas. You want to evoke that really intense emotion and that feeling that even if you don't remember it initially, like by the end of it, you're like, oh, I've been here before. I'm home in some way. And that was definitely in the beginnings of Visible Poetry Project where the idea for the project as a whole came from.
That's funny because I was actually listening to this other interview of you a few years back on this podcast called Re-Envision.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Re-Envision.
It is,
yes.
An excellent, excellent show of that particular interview. And in the interview, he mentions, he asks you, what's your favorite word?
Yes.
Yeah, and it's a Dutch word. So you're Dutch is your native language, right?
Yes, I was born in Holland and I moved to the U.S. when I was very young, but we used to go back every summer during my childhood, so I grew up speaking both Dutch and English.
So that word was?
It was gezelligheid.
Right.
Yeah, the question was, what is your favorite word? And I answered with gezelligheid because it's like that feeling you get with friends or at home where it's this kind of like indescribable warmth. Yeah, it's really
beautiful.
Yeah.
And it sort of made me have this conversation with myself about the idea of translation and how there's no English word for that Dutch word, and how film and poetry sort of have a similar resonance, at least for me.
Mm.
So the poem is one thing on its own, but then it becomes something else in the film. And it's like it almost takes on another language in some ways.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I loved thinking about that convergence of the two.
Yeah, that's definitely something that, from an administrative perspective and a creative perspective, that is something that we are trying to do. We're trying to translate this one medium into another one. And when you're translating any kind of text from language, from one language to another, there are things that you lose a little bit, or there are things that you gain, or you have different translations of the same work.
You did that this year.
Yeah.
That was very interesting.
Yeah. So what's fun about Visible Poetry Project, typically the way that our structure works is that filmmakers will choose one poet to collaborate with, either together or the filmmaker has a particular preference about the poem that they want to visualize. But because we're releasing 30 videos, we have a lot of room to play with programming in a way that other film festivals, for example, might not be able to. So this year, we had one poet apply who was pretty popular with many different filmmakers. And so we asked three different filmmakers to visualize the same poem. And that was really amazing because you saw such similarities across all of their work. Because they are working with the same text, there are resonances that each filmmaker had, but they were also very radically different. Mm. So the poet was Doyali Islam, and then the three filmmakers were Jane Glennie, who is a London-based experimental filmmaker, Amrita Singh, who I believe she is graduating this year from the NYU MFA program at Tisch. And then we had Loris Oliveira, who was a Brazilian immigrant. So all of these three filmmakers came from very different backgrounds. Doyali is Canadian-based. And to see them all work with the same text and translate it in different ways, I think it was a real testament to how there is a kernel of an emotion that is inherent in that poem that Doyali wrote that everyone was able to access, but they each took it in a totally different direction.
And I love that because people will say to me, oh, Rilke is untranslatable, you know. And okay, then Lorca's untranslatable and Neruda and all of these great poets who we've been able to get that essence, that kernel from whatever, even if it's not the literal translation.
Yeah.
And there is a parallel there between, you know, language translations and film translations.
Yeah, exactly. And I think bringing it back to Meditation at Lagunitas, I think something that Robert Haas in this poem is doing a lot is talking about how language is insufficient in a lot of ways.
Yes.
And I think to some extent all language is insufficient, but also acknowledging, okay, language might be insufficient, but how can we complement it to really emphasize those kernels that we're talking about?
Right.
Which is something that I think film can do for poetry, that poetry sometimes can't do for itself.
If you just tuned in, This is host Lois B. Jones. We're on Poets Cafe with our wonderful guest visiting from New York, Michelle Trubka. She is the founder and the managing director of the Visible Poetry Project, which is a fantastic project. And it really gets going in April, which is Poetry Month in the U.S. So you have a film a day that gets released.
Yeah, we pair 30 poets with 30 filmmakers, and then they collaborate to transform poems into short films. And that process is happening throughout the winter, basically, but the releases happen daily in April on our Vimeo and also on our website, visiblepoetryproject.com. But you can also attend in-person screenings, which we have mainly in New York, but also across the country and also across the world, where artists will come for Q&As as well.
Mm-hmm. So you started out in 2017.
Yes.
And I was watching some of the early films that you produced at that time. It's real interesting to see the evolution, 17, 18, and 19. And each year has its incredible quality. And then there's sort of a evolving, somewhat like sophistication in terms of the presentation and the integrity of the, I don't know, this is how it came across to me. Because, of course, you know, everybody's getting more savvy. And, wow, 2019 was just a knockout.
Yeah. First of all, thank you. Yeah, I personally have been incredibly impressed by the growth both of the organization but also of the artists involved. We started in 2017. I actually came up with the idea in December of 2016. And I approached my co-producer, Alex Max, about it. And then we approached our other co-producer, Christina Ellsberg, both of whom are still involved in the project. And the turnaround time was incredibly short. We had essentially 3 months to get 30 filmmakers and 30 poets on board and then actually release everything in April.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and no one told me that the idea was crazy, which was a good thing, but also it was kind of crazy. But we ended up getting a lot of support and a lot of traction. That was the year that we had Neil Gaiman writing an original poem, for example.
That film is called
Hate for Sale.
Oh, and my God, that is so
Anna
powerful.
Anna Eisbouts was the animator for the film.
Beautifully done.
She
Listeners,
worked so hard.
Vimeo, Hate for Sale, Neil Gaiman, irrelevant anytime, and especially now. But yeah, that's very powerful.
Yeah, and since that iteration of the series, we've just had a lot more excitement about it. We've had different kinds of filmmakers, different kinds of poets. And so every year has grown in a big way. And each set of filmmakers is so different and each set of poets is so different that each iteration of the series ends up being its unique season almost.
That's another thing I loved about the project, because as a poet who loves the idea of having film made to her words, I looked at some of the film poems online, and I found sometimes this kind of dystopian sort of heavy, you know, production and sound where you couldn't hear the words very well. And just I thought, you know, there are other dynamics, and there has to be other ways of doing this. And so when I came across your project, as we talked about a little bit with
Kelly Russell Agadon.
Agadon, of course, a beautiful poet. And I saw her film poem. I said, yes, now this is a marriage of word and film. And so the styles are very different. I mean, sometimes they're like abstract sort of vignettes, and then sometimes they're very narrative.
It depends on the filmmaker as well. The way that our selection process works, we select a pool of filmmakers and we select a pool of poets, and then we ask the filmmakers to look at the poets that we've selected and that whose work we would be interested in seeing in a visual form. And then they determine who they're most excited about collaborating with. So that really gives a lot of freedom for filmmakers to connect with the work. They're not being prescribed the material. They are finding a poet or a poem that really resonates
sure.
with them.
And I gather and there are thousands more poets than there are filmmakers.
Yes. Yes, there is a we do have a lot more poets in the pool than filmmakers just by nature of the way that the workload is distributed.
But you have yeah. to have a sensibility of poetry, which, of course, you do write poetry.
I do as a hobby.
okay, don't worry. We're not going to make you read anything.
I will not be performing my own poetry, but I studied English in undergrad, and so that was my first real introduction to poetry, or at least seeing what resonated with me or what I got excited about.
I just think that's so important from the poet's point of view, is that the person who is either, you know, either the filmmaker or the director of the project has some sense of what poetry is. And
yeah.
that sounds fundamental,
yeah.
but that may not necessarily always be just a given, right?
Yeah. I think it's also about playing around with what poetry can be.
Mm-hmm.
Something that we do talk about a lot in terms of the mission of Visible Poetry Project is to make poetry accessible. I think that oftentimes there is a very limited like a very limited viewpoint or understanding of what poetry is.
Yes. That's why we're here.
Yeah.
Getting this, word out at the cafe.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I think that a lot of people still think of, when they hear poetry, they think of Shakespeare. They think of, like, Shakespearean English. It's very old or antiquated or something that you have to decode in a classroom. And
it's very alienating.
It's very alienating. Mm-hmm. And I think that poetry is something that pretty much anyone can do it. Like, it really is as simple as picking up a pen and a paper and really figuring out how you articulate the world or your own experiences in a way that is uniquely you. And I think that we try to get people who normally wouldn't be reading poetry or listening to poetry to really engage with the material. So we have screenings in all these different places that aren't necessarily poetry related. Like, we've done screenings in bowling alleys, and we've done bars and breweries
right.
and distilleries. And it's in all of these different spaces where this unique way of looking at poetry is accessible to audiences who might not pursue poetry otherwise.
And how has that been?
It's been great. Mm-hmm. Since the first year, we've gotten a lot of really incredible feedback. And just, like, on a personal level, my sister is someone who doesn't really read poetry, and she found a visual poem that we released that she really connected with and really understood. And she works with children who have developmental delays and disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
And in our first year, we had Jennifer Franklin, who's a New York-based poet, a filmmaker, Gabby Granda, visualized her poem that was about her daughter who has autism. And it is a really beautiful poem. It's called My Daughter's Body.
I've saw that.
It's very powerful. Mm-hmm. And that was a poem that I saw my sister connect to, and she hasn't read poetry before. And that was really amazing. And one of my favorite memories of the project as a whole was our first year, we had a screening, and someone's grandmother attended. One of my coworkers, their grandmother attended. And during the Q&A, she asked one of the poets who was there, "Can you tell me how to read poetry?" And it was just a really heartwarming question,
mm-hmm.
because
yeah.
here's this woman who has lived so much of her life not reading poetry or not being interested in it or feeling like it wasn't accessible to her. And all of a sudden, after all of these years, she's interested in it.
Yeah.
And she's interested in learning more about how this might be able to enter her life.
That's beautiful. Yeah, it's like it's an awakening.
Yeah.
If you just tuned in, this is host Lois P. Jones, and we're with our wonderful guest, Michelle Chirupka. She's from New York, and she is the managing director of the Visible Poetry Project, and we're talking about the marriage of poetry and film and all of these good things. I went to the Getty, I guess it was last weekend or something. Anyway, it was an event with a friend of mine who's a poet, and she had a live performance with choral accompaniment and some percussive instruments too, and there was audience engagement where they had to do certain things within the poem, answer a question or write something down or read a part of a line or whatever. Anyway, this guy on the tram was so excited. You know, he got up. He's like, "Did you enjoy that?" And we're like, "Yeah." And he goes, "I feel like I experienced poetry in 3D, you know? And so in a way, the film poems are kind of a 3D sort of in a different way, but they're all so different. So that is what makes them very interesting too.
Yeah, we have documentarians, we have animators, we have experimental filmmakers, we have people from narrative backgrounds, we have people who work in film as a hobby, people who do it really professionally, and having such a wide group of people is really incredible and lends itself to having such a diverse array of films.
And subjects. You touch on a lot of issues, politically, racism, gender, sexuality. And then there are sometimes some of our archetypes thrown in there once in a while.
Yeah.
You know, which is also a good thing. I think there was a film this year on Sappho.
About Sappho. Or after Sappho.
Yes.
The poet was Alex Sari Giorgio, and mm-hmm. the filmmaker was Christina Ellsberg, who is my co-producer.
That. Yeah, that was beautiful.
When we're selecting the pool of poets and filmmakers that we would like to be involved in the project, part of our mission is to make visible the people who have traditionally been invisible or underrepresented in traditional film or publications. And so we do have a lot of people of color who both apply and are accepted. We have a lot of queer artists. We have a lot of female artists. And it's really exciting because they do bring either personal experiences or particular ways of looking at the world into the project. And the filmmakers who really connect with that subject matter, whether it's like from a similar background or perspective or an entirely different one, it does allow us to release a lot of different stories or support a lot of different stories from people of such diverse socioeconomic, geographic, racial, ethnic backgrounds.
Visible Poetry Project. Go online and look at it. This is host Lois P. Jones, and our guest has been Michelle Chirupka. All thanks to our wonderful producer, Marlena Bond. Look for us on the Poets Cafe fan page on Facebook. You've been listening to Poets Cafe on Pacifica Radio for all of Southern California and beyond. Thank you.